And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Dear Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This sermon is a bit unusual coming from me in three ways. First, it mostly ignores today's scriptures. And second, it's not about great wonders in the cosmos, maybe about small wonders in life. And third, the central part of this sermon is not quite from me. The heart of it comes from a chapter in a book called Nothing Much Happens by Catherine Nicolai. And just to say a word more about that, Catherine Nicolai's book is set in the fictional town of Nothing Much. It felt to me like Nothing Much is in Wisconsin. Possibly it's on the other side of the Big Lake in Michigan, where Nothing Much happens. Heartland. Anyway, one warning, the episodes in this book are written to be read just before going to bed to help people sleep. And it's not near bedtime yet. It's not my intent to put anyone to sleep today, but if that happens, well, that's okay, because you Episcopalians have a little sanctus bell you ring as the elements are being consecrated for Eucharist. And so maybe, if nothing much is as wonderful as purported, maybe it will put a whole congregation to sleep and we'll wake up refreshed, just in time to share Eucharist. Though that's not my intent. My intent on Wonder Sunday is to increase our awareness, our mindfulness of the ever-flowing stream of small wonders that unfold around us and within us. I once heard a Reiki instructor tell us that miracles and wonders come in three sizes. There are Bible-sized wonders, like the ones God calls out to Job in today's verses. Then there are you and me sized verses, the kind that when they happen, we sit up and take notice and tell our friends and bookmark them in our memories. And then there's the kind of miracle the instructor called nickel miracles. I think he cited a currency way too large. Because if I see something as big as a nickel in my path, I will bend over and pick it up, even in these days of arthritis and COVID. So I downsized his nickel miracles, because what I think he was talking about are the kind of treasures that are everywhere but don't often cross our threshold of consciousness. Subliminal miracles. Some of you may remember a little song from the musical Flower Drum Song. 100 million miracles, drum, drum, alum, alum, alum. 100 million miracles, drum, alum, 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 are happening day by day. Go home singing that little ditty and you'll feel happier and sillier for it. And those who say they don't agree, drum, that's the flower drum, are those who do not hear or see, drum. 100 million miracles, drum, drum, alum, 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 are happening every day. Well, flower drum song is rarely produced these days because it's way racially insensitive. But 100 million miracles are still being produced every day, and more. So this sermon on Wonder Sunday is cheerleading for you and for me to notice small wonders. Thank you, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and thank you creator of all wonders, great and small. And thank you, Catherine Nicolai. Here's my summary of her story called The Asparagus Patch. And if we do drift off and fall asleep in the telling, well, that little bell for Eucharist should wake us in time for Thanksgiving. For after all, Eucharistos in Greek means Thanksgiving. On a spring day, the author was driving from Nothing Much to visit her grandfather out in the country. Henceforth, I'm just going to use the pronouns she and her to refer to the storyteller. It was that time of spring when those who have lived in the Midwest or East will remember when the bare limbs of trees are just beginning to wear a green haze. After cresting a hill, something unexpected appeared. A hot air balloon. Now, hot air balloons are common enough sites where we live in the West, but maybe not so much near Nothing Happens. The balloon was close enough to see riders in the basket. It brought back a delightful memory to her, but not quite a memory of an experience that had actually happened. Our storyteller found herself recalling a time when she'd seen a whole flotilla of hot air balloons in every color scudding along. She'd imagined that maybe a rope might dangle from one and come close enough for her to grasp and take a hold of and be lifted up on an adventure. But, wah. Wait a minute. She was driving a car, earthbound. And there never was an actual time when she had seen a whole armada of balloons sailing past. Keep your eyes on the road. The single hot air balloon that was real, that passed out of sight, and the ones that her imagination had created left her also with a lingering delight, which soon brought to her mind an older memory of something subliminal. Did this happen when she was a girl? As a child, she'd been sure that she could visit a grotto in the cliffs along an ocean beach. There was an opening in a wall of rock just large enough for a little girl to squeeze through. Inside was a large space with waterfalls and stalactites and stalagmites and side chambers. Well, you know, in a cave where a little light enters from outside, your eyes, of course, refocus so that you can see more and more. So she explored. As a child, she was sure that there had to be a treasure chest nearby that she could discover. Well, wait. That childhood memory must have been woven from a dream or maybe a storybook, because where she grew up, it was only freshwater lakes, never oceans where she had lived. And they had sandy shores with forests, not bluffs with mussels and sea stars. So come back to driving. To Grandpa's and to some words at the very center of her story that are also at the center of the sermon, which I'll quote now. She writes, "I guess it's a measure of growing older that I don't so much now mind, knowing that these vibrant and seemingly real scraps of memory are very likely fiction. When I was young, they seemed proof of something extraordinary and magical that existed. I fiercely wanted them to be real. But now, ordinary things seemed more magical to me than fantasies of flying or discovering a long-forgotten treasure." And that's the heart and hope of this sermon. Now, ordinary things seem more magical to me than fantasies of flying or discovering long forgotten treasure. So back to that road to see her grandfather. A turn up a smaller road, a driveway, and then park. She found grandfather out behind his house where he was picking up brush that had fallen over the winter from his orchard. He would store it in a shed where he kept firewood for coming winters. She joined Grandpa in the work of picking up kindling. He struggled a bit. Hello. Thank you. Something from that bright sunny beach. Grandpa struggled a bit with his arthritis that made bending over and picking up a lot harder than it used to be, but Grandpa was patient. And there's no doubt that having a grown-up granddaughter to share a task made it less painful and more joyful for both. At one point, Grandpa picked up a horse chestnut and handed it to her with these words, "Carry a horse chestnut in your pocket, and an elephant will never step on your foot." Rare words of wisdom, such as are rarely heard. Who can argue with those? When they'd gathered enough sticks and stored them away, they headed for the house, but paused to stand by the patch where Grandpa planted his garden every spring. He pointed out where the corn and the squash and the zucchini would go, but he was always trying something new. This year, he pointed to new rows with something green already crowning through the soil. It was an asparagus patch. "Amazing, Grandpa," she said. "When will these be ready to harvest?" "Oh, in about 3 years," he told her with a wink. She watched him open the door and into his house. She slid her hand into the pocket and felt the chestnut he'd given her. And then she said to herself, "This isn't a dream. This is what's happening now. Remember it. Small wonders happening now." There are many details in that story I've left out, as there are always countless details that our senses take in, which our consciousness skips over. For marvelous though our consciousness is, we can only take notice of about maybe 1% of all the information that our senses receive. And as wonderful and marvelously tuned as our sensory cells are, one small human being can only take in, less than 1% of 1% of 1 gazillionth of all the wonders in the cosmos. I love science that always seeks to measure and quantify things, but science can never count or quantify the small wonders. I happened to be looking at a toy frog the other day in the Spooner Ranch House store at almost the same time that I was reading this quote from George Wald, a Nobel Prize winning biologist. Call this synchronicity. As I looked at the frog, I also looked at the quote which said, "Does a frog see? Is it aware of visual images? Does it know that it is seeing? There's nothing whatsoever that I can do as a scientist to answer that question. That's the problem of consciousness. It's altogether impervious to scientific approach." And George Wald certainly writes the truth, except I changed just one little word in his quote. Consciousness is not a problem. Consciousness is a treasure. Your consciousness, mine, hers, theirs, is an inheritance from our grandmothers and grandfathers of all the generations and all the life forms that have passed this treasure along to us. Our consciousness is a legacy from countless life forms and from the Creator who forms us all. But now I'm preaching my way into Bible-sized miracles, things that Psalm 131 says are too great and wonderful for us. What I wanted to do was simply call us to give a wee bit more attention to small wonders happening day by day. So try doing this sometime today before you sleep tonight. Take 1 minute, or maybe it might be up to five, that might be better, 1 to 5, to witness one miracle. Yes, you heard me. Witness one miracle. Stand or sit still in one place. Turn your eyes or ears or your upraised hands to one wonder. Maybe a bee on the Tuscan rosemary up close. Maybe a shadow on Hollister Peak in the distance. Or maybe a star in the night sky really distant. Or maybe a photo of a loved one really close on your mantle. Whatever engages your attention, just pay attention to it for 1 minute. Maybe five. Some of us see wonders faster, and some see wonders slower. Simply linger with some wonder happening in your sight, and try not to think about what you're thinking about it. Just soak it in and enjoy it as you witness one of God's wonders. And then just before you go to bed tonight, you might want to write it down or sketch it or maybe start a journal of wonders. What wonder did I meet today? It's okay if you meet more than one. Amen.